This is the Relevant Life Church podcast, where we are about connecting with God, relating to people, and reaching our world. Tune in as our church goes through this week's teaching in God's Word.
We've been in a series, Lessons from Lockup. Anybody learn any lessons during this lockup? Have you been learning anything from God? Have you been to learn anything about yourself? You know, I think what I've discovered that I've learned more about me is this desperate need of God in my life. I've been learning a lot of lessons about my ugly, not my good. Anybody realizing a little bit more about your ugly, a little bit more about who you are, that sometimes life just kind of covers those things up. You get caught up in the busyness. Today we want to, the title of my message is Embrace the Process. Everybody say that with me, embrace the process. Online, would you type in the comments down there, embrace the process. Trent goes, well, Dad, you should have called it trust the process. So if you want to call it trust or embrace, whichever you want to do. I think of embracing of today as people are coming in, I'm wanting to embrace you. I hate this elbow bump or this air high five thing. I am a hugger, so it's like I wanted to go. You know, anybody do that with the process? The process is happening, and you're kind of like going, I know I should, but I don't want to. The process of life, I know that we should embrace it. I know that we should connect with it somehow, some way. Today we get to go on in the letters of Paul, and we're stepping into the book of Philippians, the second prison letter that he wrote. And Paul's pattern of writing before we even get there is just so that you remember is he has two words or two ideas that he covers throughout all 13 of the books that he has written. And we have two large words that we use. One of those is orthodoxy and one of those is orthopraxy. Orthodoxy is right belief, realizing that we have to believe right things. The reason God gave us his word is that we would learn about him through his word. But also that we would have his word, that we would believe the right things. So that we're not just free to have this open-mindedness of going, well, this is who we're going to say God is. No, God tells us who he is. God tells us what we need to believe. God tells us what we need to align our lives with. So this orthodoxy, the practical aspect of believing, right belief systems. And then Paul doesn't just leave it at the believing the right thing. Paul brings us to another word, and it's orthopraxy. It's actually putting those right belief systems into practice in your life so that right behavior comes out. Anybody struggling with the right behavior, even though you know the right thing to do? It's called sin, right? It's called this thing that plagues us and will plague us until we get to heaven. But Paul's calling these believers, he's calling you and me to not just believe what's right, but to practice what's right. To adopt the pattern of God's word. Today our lesson is lesson number 5, and God has a promise, our process, excuse me, of getting us from the beginning to the end, and we must trust him. God has a process from getting us from point A to point B, and we must trust that process. We must embrace the process. We must walk that process out. I can tell you that the process to me is usually very tiresome. The process can be exhausting. Anybody get excited about the process? You know, when you get in your car to go from here to Disneyland, are you excited about the 2-day drive that it's going to take to get there? I mean, you get on the road and you're there going on the road for an hour and you're going, are we there yet? The process. We don't necessarily always embrace the process. We don't get excited about the process. Ron and I have been in the process of being on Weight Watchers for the last however long, and we've both lost over about 20 pounds. It's the process. Can I tell you, the process hasn't been fun, but the goal has been great. That process of denying yourself certain things and being rigid is not fun. It's tiresome. You know, I think of our daughter who's pregnant with our second grandchild. I almost said granddaughter prophetically. I don't know. We don't know what it is yet. So, hey, that might be God. Who knows, right? That's the pizza I ate last night. No, I'm on Weight Watchers, so I can't eat pizza. The process. She's like, how many weeks, honey? 18 weeks? 19 weeks? 18 weeks into this process, and it's a long process. It's not a pleasant process. It's not a pleasant pregnancy. She's having infusions twice a week. So she's excited about this baby that's going to be here, but this process is tiresome. Do you ever feel that way about the process? I've discovered that through this 105 days of quarantine that adulting isn't all that fun. Anybody else agree that adulting isn't all that fun? Remember when you were a child and you're staying home for summer, you're going, I can't wait until I'm an adult where I can have responsibility for my own life and I can have my own money and I can do my own thing and I can blah, 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 blah. And then you get to an adult and you're going, I wish that I was a child again and someone was taking care of me. I wish I was relying on, anybody out there, is it just me? I've discovered that this is kind of this, my new consideration is this thing that I found this week, this graphic. It says, I've been putting a lot of thought into it, and I just don't think being an adult is going to work for me. Do you feel like that? In the middle of quarantine, you're going, I am tired of being an adult. I'm tired of being responsible. I'm tired of this process. But then I have to step back in and go, no, I can imagine being a teenager right now is not fun. I'm tired of you, I bet you're tired of the process. Those of you that haven't been able to graduate officially, I bet you're tired of the process. Can I tell you that the process is never fun? The process is never easy. Many times in the middle of this process, I feel like I failed. Anybody feel like you failed over the process of COVID? Anybody realizing that there's been some hiccups in your life that you're having to address, or maybe you're ignoring, maybe you're trying to adapt them, maybe you're just trying to cover them with another habit in your life? Can I tell you today that God wants us to get better in the process? We see this statement, and it was really big in 1970. It says, please be patient with me because God isn't finished with me yet. Would you say that with me this morning? Please be patient with me because God isn't finished with me yet. How many can honestly say that in your life? Please be patient with me. Would you type on the comments, please be patient with me? You know, I think that that's what it comes down to in our lives is that many times we can be impatient with ourselves. I can be impatient with God. Anybody ever impatient with God going, this process sucks, God. Can you hurry up? God, what is this passage of scripture that says you can do a quick work in righteousness? Would you just get it done? Right? God, you're able to eliminate COVID just like that. Can you just get it done? Holy Spirit, would you come? But let me tell you today that God has a reason for what he's doing. This idea of the process reveals things in us and proves things to us and challenges us to be something different. Today we begin this series in the book of Philippians, and we've got a couple passages of scripture. And the book of Philippians touted as one of the most favorite books of the New Testament. When people have done a poll, they come back and go, Philippians is the book that I love the most. Anybody love the book of Philippians? You can probably go through and you can read it in a setting, one sitting at a time. And many times people come back and say the theme of Philippians is joy, which it is one of the themes, but one of the major themes of all of Paul's books is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every book he points back to this thing called the gospel. Everybody say gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. This good positive aspect of who Jesus is. So the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to this church that he began 10 years prior to. Philippi was a colony that was in Macedonia. It's in Greece at this moment, the current day Greece. And it was there in kind of a gulf of area there. And it was a major trade route. It was not a large city, but it was a major trade route. And in this city of Philippi, there was a highway called the Ignatian Way. And this road was a road that went from Rome all the way through to Asia. It was a road that they had put together and established. It was this major trade route. And it's kind of fascinating to me because as you look at Paul's story, Paul didn't plan to go to Philippi. Paul had it in his heart, if you go to Acts chapter 16, you can actually see the entirety of the story of Paul with the Philippians. Paul did not intend to go to Philippi. Paul had a plan to go someplace else, and it's in the middle of a dream, in the middle of the Holy Spirit inspiring, the Holy Spirit pouring out his presence on Paul's life, he saw a man that said, come to Macedonia. And Paul said, okay, that must be where I'm going. I'm going to listen to God. Paul takes off, and he lands in Philippi, and he's not there for a long time. Can I tell you, this church plant that Paul planted in Philippi was a in and out situation. You see the entirety of his exchange in one chapter in Acts chapter 16. I encourage you to go back and look at it, and you're going to see his encounters with key people in this story. As Paul comes into town, he goes down to the river, and he meets up with a lady named Lydia, who is a dealer in fabric, and she is there doing her laundry, basically. And he introduces himself, and they have a conversation, and she comes to Christ, and he baptizes her in the river. Like, whoa, does this really happen? So she comes back and says, well, no, you need to come to my house, and I want you to lead my servants and my family to Christ. And he goes and he leads them to Christ. And the next day he's out, and there's a girl that's filled with demons, and she's being used as a ploy to make money, and he delivers her from these demons. And the owners of this girl get mad, and they drag Paul and Silas to the center of Philippi, and they beat him with rods, and then they throw him into the jail. And in this process of throwing him into the jail, they begin to sing and begin to lift their voices, and all the gates, the bars and the doors, they open in this jail. And the jailer comes running, if you're familiar with the story, he comes running, and he is concerned that they've all left, and he's about ready to kill himself. And Paul says, stop, don't do that. And what happens next? Paul leads him to Christ, and then the jailer takes him home, and he leads them to Christ, and then he goes back to jail because he doesn't want anybody to get in trouble, and the officials of the city come back and tell him that he needs to leave and that they're going to forgive him. And Paul goes, no, I'm not just going to be forgiven. You have to come and apologize to me. Right. Talk about guts, right? I mean, anybody going to demand an apology when you're free? Anybody just going to like go, no, I'm gone. I'm getting out of here. Paul goes, no, you're going to come and you're going to apologize to me. And they come and they apologize to him. And Paul goes and they let him out. And Paul goes back home to Lydia and greets her home and greets this new little church that he has planted, and out of the city he goes. We're talking less than a few weeks. Paul comes in, he swoops in, and he plants this church, and it's been 10 years since Paul did that. Paul is in prison in Rome, and he's writing a letter to the church in Philippi, this aspect of being of the gospel, and he addresses this book to all the saints, all God's holy people, in Christ Jesus. All you who are in Philippi, I am addressing you. And he goes on in this passage of scripture, he goes on into verse 3, he says, I thank God every time I remember you. Everybody say you. When I remember you, when I remember all of your differences and all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I want to pause right here, and I want to tell you something. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the greatest unifier of all things. Paul goes in, he swoops into Philippi to preach the good news, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, to address the diversity of the people. And Lydia, who is a wealthy woman, is at the river, and she comes to Christ. He takes her home to the slaves, and they become Christ. And then he goes to the poor slave girl, and she becomes a Christian. And then he goes to the jailer. Can I tell you, all races, all socioeconomics, the gospel of Jesus Christ brings unity. And that's why he comes and he says, I thank you for your partnership. Can I tell you today, church, Relevant Life Church, those online, I thank you for your partnership. We would not be able to do what we are doing today without your partnership. Without you being able to step in. Can I tell you that it's crossing every denominational line? It's crossing every socioeconomic line? It's crossing every race line? The partnership of the gospel is the unifier. The gospel is the greatest unifier. People from every different social, racial, and economic background all gather around one unified focus, and his name is Jesus. Paul was passionate. Can I tell you, I'm passionate about the gospel. I anticipated this day and this awkwardness of trying to come back and everybody in mass. But can I tell you, we've been passionate about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Over the last 105 days, the last 15 weeks, we've not stopped preaching the good news. Paul goes on to the key scripture this morning that I want to look at. Philippians 1 verse 6, he says, being confident, everybody say confident. Being confident of this, that God who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God's not finished yet. God is not finished yet. Aren't you glad that God's not finished yet? I look around America today and I go, oh dear Jesus, thank God he's not finished yet. I look at my church today, God's church today, and I say, God, thank you that you're not done yet. Can I tell you that there have been those that have been compromised in COVID? Church, our brothers and sisters in Christ, are you praying for them? Those people that you sit by Sunday after Sunday prior to this, there are those that are walking away from God in the middle of COVID. There are those that are stumbling over alcohol, that are stumbling over drugs, that are stumbling over porn. And I don't want you just to sit there and go, well, I wonder who that is. No, I need you to get on your knees and begin to call to Jesus and go, we are partners of the gospel. We are going to win. He who began a good work, he will be faithful to complete it. And I love this because Paul doesn't say it's a good work that's working for you. He says it's a good work that's working in you. Say, God is working in me. Come on, God is working in me. And I pause and I ask you, is he? Is he? Have you allowed him to? Have you stepped back to embrace his work in your life? God is not just trying to do a work for you. That work that he did for you was what Jesus did on the cross. And he did it once and for all. The work in you is that work that he wants to do something in your life and change you. We oftentimes struggle seeing by faith that this statement is true. You're in the middle of COVID and you're going, God, can I embrace this process? God, I thought you began something good. I don't see anything good in this. God, are you really going to bring this to completion? Are you really going to do something in and through my life? Paul was not necessarily seeing the perfection of the people in Philippi. Can I tell you, he addresses it later on in the book, in Philippians chapter end of 3, beginning of 4, and he talks to these two ladies that aren't getting along, and he's going, no, I'm not just saying that you've already completed it. There's still issues in life. He's going, but will you embrace the process? God knows how to bring us into the circumstances that will make us willing to be made willing. God knows what it takes to make us willing. Are you willing? I think of what an appropriate message in the middle of COVID. God uses a circumstance such as this to make us willing. To come to a place to go, no, I'm beyond myself. No, God, I thought I had it in control, but I don't. No, I thought I was better than I was. I want to tell you today that God has began a good work in you, and there is a process that we're in, point A to point B, and there's this gap in between. What God has done and is doing, he will complete. What he does cover, what he does covers the beginning, the continuation, and the completion of the Christian experience. I love this. Who better to begin you and complete you than the one who designed you? Who better to begin you and to complete you, better than the one who knows you better than anybody? He created you, he designed you, he fashioned you, he knows your likes, he knows your desires, he knows your strengths, he knows your weaknesses. He knows you better than anybody. And he can look at your life and he can come back and go, wow, I began him, therefore I can finish him. God's not going to just leave us in the middle. Today I want to look at three phrases real quickly this morning. Embrace the process, number one. For God began something in us. God began. Everybody say, God began. You know, I love the beginning of Genesis. This is, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning. In the very start of all things, God was in control. Can I tell you that God began us thousands of years ago, began this idea of mankind? God created you. David speaks to it in Psalms. That he created you and fashioned you. In the beginning, he knew you. God was all about this aspect of beginning. This idea of beginning is to start, to take the first action. To take the first action. When we think of God today, God is the one who took the first action for your life. He's the one that plotted and planned. He's the one that has the blueprint that laid you out and said, no, this is what it's going to be. He's the one that designed you and designed your passions. And Paul doesn't just say that it's a work. Paul says it's a good work. Amen. That he who began a good work inside of you, this good thing, this good act of God, this act of mercy on behalf of you and behalf of me. And it's a work that's a task. That oftentimes, anybody get caught up in the task of life? You get caught up in the task of your job, and you sometimes don't come to work and go, well, this is a good work today. We get caught up in the task. Can I tell you that God comes and views your life as a good task? It's a good work. He's going, no, I get to work on you today. No, I get to change you today. No, I get to ex-love you the way you are, but I love you so much, I'm not going to just leave you that way. God has a plan. I think of verse 5 and verse 6 on this next slide. It says, from the first day until now, from the beginning to present, from the day of November 21st, 1963, when Kevin was born, from that beginning of life to now in June, or July, what is it? Yeah, June 28th, 2020. I don't even know where I'm at. Where am I? From then till now, from beginning to present. He doesn't just leave it there, and then he comes back and he says, no, from present to completion. From present, from 2020 all the way through to the moment I stand before Jesus Christ on Judgment Day. Can I tell you today that we don't always like to talk about that aspect, but Jesus is going to come. The signs are ripe as we look at the signs of the times, and we need to be prepared not just to be living in this present moment, but to realize God has a completion date for us. God has a goal, a destination for you and for me. And we're going, oh, well, I just can't wait to get to heaven. Can I tell you, yes, God's ultimate goal is for you to get to heaven. He's not willing that any should perish. But let me tell you this. The reason you're still on this planet is because God has a process for you. Amen. We will learn things on this planet, behaviors that God wants us to gain before we get there. It's a process. It's a developing in us. This process is a big, long theological term, and it's called justification. Justification, the action of being declared or made righteous in the sight of God. You know, when we try to justify our actions, anybody ever try to explain why you did something to somebody? We try to make an excuse for our behavior. We justify our actions. We have a reason. Can I tell you that we have no reason to justify ourselves before God? We cannot justify ourselves. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ to justify us, to make us righteous in the sight of God, to act as if something was right. It's also another term for regeneration, to be regenerated, to be reborn, for new birth to come. Salvation today involves three things. Salvation is God's work. Can I tell you today that many times we oftentimes go, well, God, you're lucky I'm on your team. We may not say that, but sometimes we behave that way because we don't come realizing the grace that we get. Sometimes we go walk around with a chip on our shoulder going, well, I'm saved, thinking you're better than everybody else. Can I tell you today the reason that you are saved is because God sent his one and only son to the cross to die for you, to give you this thing called justification. The only reason you're serving Christ today, Scripture says, is that the Spirit of God drew you to him. He whispered in your ear. He brought conviction in your life, and he made you realize that you're insufficient alone. Church, salvation is God's work. He who began, he who started this is all about him. It's not because you tried to just throw him a tip someplace. It's because he loved you. Salvation is also a good work. Salvation lifts us from sin and places us into an eternal course. He lifts us out of this darkness and dankness and gives us purpose for life. It's a good thing. How many can say that salvation has been a good thing? Are you thankful for salvation today? Is it something that we take for granted? We need to come back and go, no, this is a good work in me. And lastly, salvation is a sure work. I am so thankful that God never leaves me nor forsakes me. I am so thankful that in the middle of my COVID sin, in the middle of my skank, in the middle of my attitudes, in the middle of my pity party, in the middle of my rough life, in the middle of my down moments, anybody I'm identifying with anybody today, that God in the middle of that is still surely intact with me. He's not left me. He still loves me. He still cares. It's a good work that he's begun. It's a sure work that he's begun. Church, we cannot let go. He's never going to let go of us. Number two, embrace the process. God continues. He began, God began, and God continues. God continues. We don't just receive Christ and walk away. Isn't that something that's happened in America today? Let's just make accepting Christ easy. Can I tell you, it is rather simple. But God didn't want to just give you a simple grace and a simple salvation that you would go on living your life the way you've always lived your life. He came and he died on the cross. He purchased an expensive thing that you would have this salvation, that there would be a continued work in your life. His goal is not just heaven. His goal is Christ-likeness. You are created in his image, and therefore he's trying to work out his image in your life. God began this good work, and he's carrying it on to completion. One of the translations says that he's faithful to its completion. He's faithful to its completion. Faithfulness means that it's steady, it's consistent, that they're not going to walk, he's not walking away from it. He's faithful. Regardless of what you look like right now, regardless of what you've done, he's faithful to you. He sees it, and he's going to bring it to completion. The NIV uses this word carry. He carries it. You look at the definition to lift the weight. Today I want to declare to you that God is the one that's the heavy lifter in your life. There's an expectation on you, and we're going to get to that in a second. But when we talk about that he's going to carry it to completion, he's the heavy lifter. I think of our granddaughter, Cam. She comes over and she loves to help and she loves to be in the middle of everything. And I'm trying to move stuff and we bought her this kitchen and we have to move this kitchen sometimes up and down the stairs if she's wanting to play downstairs. And she's wanting to help Peepaw. She wants to be in the middle of all of it. And, you know, that whole idea that she's going to put her hands on it. She's helping you carry this kitchen. And in reality, she's not carrying anything. She's more in the way than she is helping. Are you getting where I'm going? Sometimes we're saying, God, I got this. And he's going, I'm going to let you think you got it. I'm going to let you think you're carrying the weight. I'm going to let you believe this. But reality is, I got this. I'm carrying the weight. I'm the heavy lifter in this process. This word process is a series of actions or steps that need to be taken. Can I tell you that God's already taken the most important step? He's taken the ultimate step. He's taken the concluding step. God sees our beginning and he sees our completion, and he's speaking by faith through Paul to go, I've made it, I began it, I've got you in the middle of it, and I'm going to complete it. 105 days later, Kevin struggled with the process. Transparency and honesty. This week has been a stressful week. Going, is it going to work? Is it not going to work? Trust the process. Trust the team. They got this. And if it doesn't work, we've learned from what doesn't work. Can I tell you that that's part of the process? But we don't like that, right? We want to have this ultimate goal. We want to have this ultimate destination, and we don't want to fail in the middle of it. The action steps that need to be taken. God has taken the most important steps, but God expects us to take action steps as well. Yes, he has brought us through a process. Rick Warren says this, transformation is a process, and as a life happens, there are tons of ups and downs. It's a journey of discovery. A journey of discovery. This has been 105 days of discovery of what our culture would turn into, of how negative certain things are that are winning in our culture today. But can I tell you this? It's also shown us how mighty the church is. It's also shown us how powerful and determined the body of Christ is. It's also declared and helps us to see that God is still in control of every situation. Transformation is a change of what was into what God wants us to be. Another term would be metamorphosis, that transference from a butterfly cocoon or a caterpillar in a cocoon to a beautiful butterfly. It's this metamorphosis, it's this transformation. Can I tell you that worm, the caterpillar, is not very attractive, but the butterfly sure is gorgeous. But it's this long process in between that God's wanting to do in our lives. I get tired of the process. Do you get tired of the process? Do you get tired of the battles? I want to assure you today of this, that this exact same passion that God had for your life at the very beginning, his desire to give his son for you, is the exact same passion that he feels right now. Oftentimes in our humanity, you've been married for 20 years, you've been married for 5 years, you've been married for 50 years. Sometimes your love wanes and sometimes it increases and sometimes it wanes. Anybody ever been there? Hello? Be honest. Our human feelings, we go up and down. Can I tell you that God's feelings don't go up and down? The same passion that he sent his son Jesus for you is the exact same passion right now that he says, no, I have a desire and a plan for your life. You are going to win and I'm going to win through you. God continues his work in us. We looked at justification being this beginning work. Another big theological term is sanctification. That God continues his work. Justification, regeneration is a moment, situation that we come to Christ and say, Jesus, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I need you to come into my life. I need you to save me. But can I tell you that sanctification is not an instantaneous thing? As you look at your life, are you happy with all your life? Are you happy with the struggles? Do you wake up in the morning and have sinful thoughts? Do you work through the day and have sinful thoughts? Can I tell you, that's the process of sanctification. It's the process that, no, you love Jesus and you've accepted him, you've been justified, his blood has been shed over your life, but there's this duration, this process of being sanctified to be like him. Yeah. It's a continuing change worked in us by God. It does not mean that sin is instantly eradicated in our lives. Does anybody go, oh crud, I wish it was? Can I tell you that Paul, he expresses this in the book of Romans. Paul expresses this process of sanctification. He goes, I do what I don't want to do, and what I want to do, I don't do. Paul the apostle, Paul the man of God, Paul this person who wrote 13 books of the New Testament, Paul who planted churches, Paul who preached sermons, he realized he was not perfect. He realized he was in a process of sanctification. Church, we're in a process of sanctification. This process of transformation is learning what we learned last week, is denying the world and killing our flesh and battling Satan. Can I tell you that sanctification, yes, is a process that God does in us, but it's a process that you have to actively step into. You have to actively go no to the world. You have to actively say, no, I'm going to cut that off in my flesh. You have to actively armor up in the process of battling the enemy. Stephen Furtick says this, you're only stuck if you stop. You're only stuck if you stop. And I want to shout to you, don't stop. Don't quit. Step into the process. Embrace the process. What is God trying to teach you over the last 105 days? Are you going to end up being perfect after this? No, you're not. But you should be more like Christ after this. You should be better than you were. Number three, embrace the process. God will complete it. It's not just how you start, it's how you finish. It's not just how you start, it's how you finish. Can I tell you this? If all God wanted to do was take you to heaven, back in the beginning when he saved you, he would have taken your life and just put you there. If his ultimate goal was for you just to skip the process, he would have saved you, he would have created you, saved you, and planted you. But that's not God's process. God says there are things in life I created you to occupy the planet. I created you to be a testimony of me. I've created you to love people. I've created you to love me. I've created you to live life. Oftentimes we hear this idea of, you complete me. Right? The nauseating romantic sentiment. I just said that, and it was live. Cover my wife's ears, erase her memory. Honey, you complete me. Can I state the obvious today? No man can ever complete a woman. No woman can ever complete a man. No parent can ever complete a child. And no child can ever complete a parent. Church, I'm going to tell you today, the only one that we can ever say this to is God, that God, you complete me. God, you complete me. I'm dating myself, but when my children were itty-bitty, there was a Christian entertainment called The Donut Man. Some of you are acknowledging your age by acknowledging who that is, and many of you are like going, who are you talking about? The donut man, the donut what? And he always used the illustration of a donut in that God fills the whole of the donut, that he's the one that completes us. We look to the world to complete us. Some of you are looking to a job to complete you. Some of you here and online are looking to drugs, alcohol, pornography, lasciviousness, chat rooms to complete you. Church, I want to tell you today that all these things of the world, the ploys of the enemy, the lusts of the flesh, the pride of life, the desires of our eyes, they look like they're going to fill us. They look like they're going to fill us. And all they do is leave us more vacant and more empty. And I want to speak to you this morning. There are people in this room right now that need to hear this message. The Spirit of God wants to complete you. Jesus Christ is coming soon. And how we entertain our lives and how we get the process, God wants us to be more like him, not less like him. And if you've been caught up in sin in your life, you know who it is. Can I tell you, I've had to address my own issues. I've had to address my own ick. Today is a day of reckoning. Today is a day that we need to come back and go, no, I need to fix me. This idea of completion, God says, is successful, a successful finish. A successful finish. I hate failing. Anybody else? I hate failing. I hate making mistakes. I want to start over, and it's hard for me to start over. If I blow it in the middle of the day on a diet, do you know what's really hard is to try to start over at that moment on the middle of the diet. Mind-wise, I'm going, I blew it. I might as well just go hog wild. Give me a whole box of chocolate. Bring me a pizza. I want a dozen donuts. I'll start again tomorrow. Anybody? What I know here is that God says, I'm the one that completes you. I'm the one that's going to bring you to a successful finish. And I love Paul's words here. Paul uses this word confidence. Paul says, I'm confident that he will bring about this successful finish. I'm confident. That word confident means fully persuaded, assured. I struggled with being fully convinced this morning that everything was going to function. And I'm just saying, okay, God, it's going to do what it's going to do. But I can tell you this. Where my confidence lies is in him. My confidence lies in him. That whatever he intended for today is going to be for today. That we're going to surrender to that process. That we're going to say, yes, God, we're going to embrace it. And he says, on the day of Christ, that day of reckoning, as we stand before Jesus, you will stand complete before him. A principle that I taught my children, I've taught many leaders, is not to be guilty of overpromising and underproducing. Anybody ever get frustrated with someone that overpromises and underproduces? Have you ever been guilty in your own life of overpromising and underproducing? I want to tell you today, I'm confident of this. I'm assured of this. God never overpromises and underproduces. What he promises, you can hold him to his word. It's going to be done. He's going to bring it to completion. And we can stand and we can go, no, God, I may be imperfect, but God, you're not. I may be incapable, but God, you're not. God, I submit to the process. I yield to the process because you're going to bring it to completion. In conclusion this morning, one day Billy Graham and Ruth Graham were driving through a long stretch of road of construction where there were numerous slowdowns and detours. Don't we all love those things? How many love road construction? A lot of it's been happening during COVID, let me tell you. Yay for whoever planted that. Good job. Good job, Oregon. Good job, Department of Transportation. We give you a round of applause. And they were going through all these processes of stops, and they finally reached the end of all the construction and the little pieces of tar flying up. And there was a sign that said, end of construction, thank you for your patience. End of construction, thank you for your patience. Can I tell you, I love the statement. It says, the story says that Ruth turned to Billy and said, Billy, this is what we need to have on our tombstone. End of construction, thank you for your patience. Can I tell you, until you die, you're in the process. God says, would you embrace the process? Would you submit to this process? Would you surrender to the process? Some of you have been doing this to the process, whether it's the process of COVID, whether it's the process of God trying to do something in your life, whether it's the process of God trying to do something in your marriage, whether the process of God trying to do something in your family, something internally. Maybe there's something that's hanging on you, plaguing you. And God says, would you surrender to the process? Surrender to the process. I want to leave you with this passage of scripture. I love it. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Another one of Paul's prison letters. He says, Christ loved the church and he gave himself up for her. The reason he did so was to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Church, I want you to get this morning. I want you to grasp this morning. Christ loved the church, and therefore he gave himself up for her. He died on the cross for her. Why? To make her holy, to cleanse her, to wash her with the power of the water through his word. And to what? To present her to himself as a radiant church. Come on, say radiant church. As a church that glows, as a church that shines, as a church that's beautiful and perfect, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Can I tell you God's purpose for you, that he who began this work is that you would endure the process, you would embrace the process, you would trust the process, that he could present you as this radiant, beautiful thing at the end, that you would be without spot, without wrinkle. I want to leave you with this statement. We need to expect and to anticipate. We need to expect and to anticipate. We don't need to live in the past. We don't need to mourn or be fooled by the present, but we need to anticipate what God's going to do. I've been a little bit dissuaded by the present. Anybody get dissuaded by the present? There's been seasons in my life that I've got obsessed with the past, of what was done to me that I have no power to change. Can I tell you today, if you're living in the past, hear me, if you're living in the past, you need to say goodbye to the past. You need to stop looking back. You need to not be stalled in the present. Don't get caught up in what's just happening right now. Look to the future, anticipate, expect that God is doing something great in you. I'm gonna challenge you. Just because everyone else is on the same process as you are, would you give grace to people? Say, I'm gonna give grace to people. Also, give some grace to yourself. doesn't give license to sin, but give grace to yourself. Know that you're going to fail. Know that you just need to get back up and trust the process. And lastly, embrace it. Can I tell you, this is a guaranteed thing. God's in control. God's the one that's doing something in us. Amen? Heavenly Father, today we thank you. I thank you that you're a God who's in control of us. God, I thank you that you are a God who's in control of our destiny, God, in our future. God, I thank you today that you're a God that in the beginning you created. In the beginning you had a plot and you had a plan. In the beginning you did what you did for us. And God, now we're here in the season of this story, and the story is not done. God, we embrace this process. We embrace the story. God, work in us. Would you say, God, work in me? God, make me holy. Sanctify my life. Make me blameless. God, today there are things that are hanging on our lives that we need to repent of. Things that do not please you, things that do not glorify you. God, today, in this moment, we give them to you. We submit our lives to you. Would you just lift your hands to him? In your living rooms right now, would you just lift your hands to him? God, we submit our lives to you. We submit our lives to you. God, would you cleanse us and renew us? Would you remove from us those things that don't please you? God, I want to be a person without spot or without blemish. Not for people to look at me, but for you to look at me. God, for you to see a radiant person that you have designed and you have created. God, I trust that there are people that are watching right now that never have taken the beginning step of accepting you as Lord and Savior. If that is you today, I encourage you, would you let Jesus begin the work in you? Would you open your life to him? It's as simple as this. Would you invite him into your life today by saying, Dear God, would you forgive me of my sins? Would you come into my life? Would you begin your holy work in me? God, I invite the Holy Spirit into my life to change me and to convict me and to transform me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you today. Thank you for coming to Relevant Life Church.
Here at Relevant Life Church, it's our mission to see people connect with God, relate to one another, and reach our world. This single statement drives everything we do as a church. Our hope is that today you were encouraged in this. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.